Hello, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Pastor Ed, for allowing me to speak again today. I've spoken, I think, one time before, right? And always makes me nervous. Last Sunday, I sang at a concert of Martin Rivera. I was the front act, and some of our members here, Pastor Ed, Nanay, Rina, Sister Rose, and Brother Ray, Sister Barb's attended. And to tell you honestly, that concert was really nerve-wracking to me, because every time you come up in front of the public, especially that many people, if you mess up, it's embarrassing, right? So, but I was kind of nervous, and Kevin gave me this word of encouragement, because he always goes to do worship. He leads the worship in his congregation. So Kevin said, "Dad, this is what they told us. Don't worry about it, because if you make a mistake or if you screw up, nobody knows who you are anyway." Now, that's my intro to this message today, because that day I was really praying hard, and God has given me that assurance that no matter who you are, well, Kevin said that no matter who you are, if you mess up, you do good, you're still my child. I'm not gonna kick you out of heaven, right? So same thing today. Today is even more nerve-wracking for me, because first of all, I forgot that I was gonna speak today. And Pastor Ed reminded me, where was I, yesterday? Or Friday, that I was going to speak today. So first, that's one of the reasons why. And second, is every time I come to the front of the pulpit, like I've said before, I am not representing myself. I'm representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So you always want to do a good job. But then again, the Lord gave me a reminder this morning that it's not you. If you mess up, don't worry. I got your back. So I thank God for that message this morning. And what was I going to say? So that's basically it. So Pastor Ed reminded me the other day to speak today. So I prayed hard, and yesterday I didn't go anywhere. We just had dinner, but spent the whole time studying the Word, and I came up with a theme. The Lord sent me a theme, because tomorrow is Independence Day. Does anybody know that? Tomorrow's Independence Day. So, is anybody working tomorrow? Oh, some people are working tomorrow. Brother Wayne, wow. Well, most of us are not working tomorrow, because Independence Day is a holiday. It's Freedom Day. So before I start, I'd like to pray. You pray with me as I deliver the message. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, allowing us to be here, to be safe, to be at your house, to listen to the wonderful worship today and the message that you brought to Sister Myra this morning. And we thank you, O Lord, for giving us this church to worship. We thank you, Lord, for giving us this congregation to worship with. And we honor you, O God, and we give you all the glory and the praise, for all the glory and the praise belongs to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the topic of my message today, as I already indicated, is about July 4th. It's about freedom. So we are in the country with the, what we call this place, the land of the brave and the home of the free, or the home of the free and the land of the brave. whichever order. That's what we call the United States of America. And my verse for today, before I start, this you might find odd, is because it, you might think at first, why does this verse rhyme with freedom? But I'll let you know later on why. My verse for today is a very popular verse, and I urge everyone to memorize this verse. This verse is John 3:16. And actually, I could say it without looking at the scripture. And I'm sure you all do. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So let me start. Tomorrow's Independence Day, and we celebrate the independence of the United States. From whom? We celebrate the independence of the United States from who? King George, the British, right? So there were 50 people who signed the Declaration of Independence. This was back on July 4th, 1776, right? So that was more than 200 years ago, wherein the United States became free. So the United States became free, and it seems like it's inherent in every individual to have that sense of freedom. Is that right? Everyone wants to be free. Nobody wants to be under someone's rule. No one wants to be a slave. And I firmly believe that that inherent desire for freedom is given to us by God. It was something that was instilled in us. It was created in us. It's in our DNA to search for freedom. Why is freedom important to most people? And what is freedom? That's a question. And another question that was raised is that, is it really good to be totally free? Is it good to be totally free? So that's a question someone might say, yeah, it's good to be totally free. And maybe some will say, maybe it's not so good to be totally free. Anyway, we will answer that question. So first of all, let's find the definition of freedom. What is the definition of freedom? So you go to your book. Where do you go to when you like to find a definition? Nowadays you go to Google, right? You type in your Siri, get your phone. Siri, what does freedom mean? Freedom means get out of here. No, actually, here's what freedom means. Let's look at Webster's meaning of freedom. We will have a social studies class today. So freedom says in Webster, the quality of state of being free as, one, the absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in choice or action. This definition of freedom is basically talks about free will. You have free will. If you have freedom, means that you are not coerced into doing something. You are not forced to do something. You are free to have your own thinking. You could think any way you want. No one will tell you what to think, what to do, how to act. So that's one form of freedom. Another form of freedom is liberation from slavery or restraint from the power of another. That's what we are celebrating tomorrow, because the United States has liberated itself from the British rule. So this description of freedom is freedom from captivity. So if you are in prison, you're not free, right? If you are controlled by another person, you're not free. So probably we can say in our work, we are free to work, but you're not totally free to do whatever you want at work because you have a boss, right? So anyway, one description of freedom is freedom from captivity. And the third description of freedom is the quality of state of being exempt or released, usually from something onerous. This is freedom to move about. One description of freedom, if you're tied down, for example, like what Sister Pia does to Brother Paul, he ties him up on the chair sometimes, he can't move. You know, that means you're restrained. You're not free to do anything. You're not free to move around, right? Well, actually, that's what Camille does to me, not to Brother Paul. Just kidding. She doesn't tie me down. I tie myself down. Anyway, so being tied down, it means you're not free. So when you say you're free to move around, then that's another description of freedom. And another description of freedom is ease and facility, meaning that you could speak any language you want. You're free to speak your language. You're free to speak Tagalog at work. You're free to speak English. You're free to speak Spanish in this country. You know, you're free to speak. So that's one type of freedom, freedom in language. And another one, the quality of being frank, open, or outspoken. This means freedom of expression. You are free to express yourself. If you're mad, you're free to say, I'm mad at you. Or you're free to sing. You're free to express what's in your heart. That's usually what singers does, right? They try to sing and express their hearts. Like in worship, you're free to worship. You're free to express yourself to your God. You're free to express yourself to God as far as we are concerned. So those are some of the examples of freedom. So basically, looking at these definitions, from freedom seems to be a good thing, right? Because if you're free to walk about, free to express yourself, free to think, free to do it, that's a good thing, right? So how can someone say that freedom is not a good thing if based on the description that we read, you're able to do all these things, you're free to do it. Are we free? What do you think? We are, right? We're free to do it. In this country, we are free. So it seems like freedom means you can do anything you want to do. In the U.S., this seems to be the overwhelming theme. If you listen to the radio, if you listen to news, especially nowadays, they always talk about freedom. We want the freedom to do anything we want, as long as you don't hurt anyone, right? That seems to be the overwhelming theme in this country. You're free to do anything you want, anything, as long as you don't hurt anybody else. That is what the cry of the left is. And some people from the right say the same thing. So some people say, you can do anything you want as long as you don't hurt anybody. So here comes the question. If you're free to do anything you want, a question was asked, is that freedom really good? Is that freedom, if you're given the freedom to do anything you want, anything your heart's desire, is that really a good thing? So there are two types of freedom that I'd like to talk about. First is called political freedom. Political freedom means it's freedom from persecution from the government or from an individual. So back when I was younger, I was growing up in the Philippines. And the Philippines was actually, at one time, was in martial law. It was it was an era where you are not totally free. Because if you say something bad about the government, you will be either imprisoned or killed. So that was the time when everybody do their thing, but they cannot really do their thing because you cannot. There's corruption. If you see corruption, you cannot complain about it. If someone takes advantage of you, you cannot complain about it, especially if that person is from the government. So there was an era in the life of my life, at least in the Philippines, that I didn't really feel free. I was scared. I was scared too, because there was a time when there was a curfew. You know, that was the time that curfew was implemented from 12 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the morning. So you cannot go out at 12 o'clock to 4. If you go out, you could get arrested, and what you'd be end up doing is you'd be cutting grass at Camp Krami. You'd be cutting the lawn at Camp Krami, and you not only that, they will let you clean the toilets and stuff like that. It's not that I've been through that, right? But I'm just saying I knew people that went through that and they got in trouble. And if you say something against the government, I know someone who'd been killed. He was shot. He's a friend of mine, and he was an activist. So one time they called us and they said, you know, Alan is dead. He was found dead, and so we were visited. He had a gunshot wound in the head, and they said they shot him because he was a political activist. So political freedom is something that people strive for. So what ended up happening is there had been a revolution. There's been an EDSA revolution. It was a peaceful revolution in the Philippines. So the Marcos regime, who was a dictatorship, was overthrown. The Marcos regime was overthrown, and then guess who took over? Cory Aquino took over in the Philippines and took over the country. And so what happened was the people that took over said, it's our turn. So Marcos' regime was corrupt, he got left. Now the people that took over were also corrupt, and they said, now it's our turn to take money from the government. So what happens was, it became a cycle. So every election cycle, that's what happens. So basically, one freedom from another type of freedom is what happened. Now, same thing with the Soviet Union. If you are alive in back in the 90s, the Soviet Union collapsed. But before that, back in the 60s, we almost had a nuclear war with the Soviet Union back in the 1960s in Kennedy era. Because the Soviet Union is a communist, basically a socialist government. So in a socialist government, all the businesses are owned by the government. And you're not free to travel in the Soviet Union. So basically, if you travel, if you want to go from one state to the other, you need to file first for papers. I want to go here. And when you get there, they make sure that you report to the head or the barangay captain or whatever of the place and report there and tell, I'm here now, you know. So basically, all your moves are monitored in a socialist country. And all the businesses, you cannot make your own money. You make your own money, but you pay like 90%. Tax. You get 10% of what you make. And that's what they want to do here, actually, in some instances, right? There are some people here in the government that are crying for that. We want to tax everybody because we want the government to take care of you. So that's basically another form of limitation of your freedom. And what happened, the Soviet Union collapsed because the people are craving for freedom. So what happened was the Soviet Union collapsed and the dismantling of the Soviet Union. Basically what happened was, who took over? The Russians took over, and guess what? The corruption still remained. There's one form of freedom to another form of freedom, which is basically the Russian mafia had become powerful. And that's why Putin became the president of Russia right now, because he promised that he's going to take care of all of these. But then again, Putin is going back to his old ways. So that's political freedom. So let's go back to the scriptures. It's some very popular, this is like the theme of the Old Testament. The Jews were slaves in Egypt. Is it true? So they were slaves in Egypt for what? 400 years? And they were not free, right? They were not free to do anything. They were basically enslaved. Then who saved them? Moses saved them. So Moses, through God, through Moses, got the Egyptians out of Egypt. And what happened? When they got out of Egypt, they have freedom, but then again, what did they do? They murmured. They murmured against God and said, oh no, we'd rather be back in Egypt, because there, even though we're slaves, you know, we are able to do this and that, we're able to eat. Now we're going to die here in the desert. They were fighting against Moses. And then again, they worshiped other gods when they got out of Egypt. So that's one form of freedom to another form of freedom. So that's political freedom. Now let's go to social freedom. Social freedom is freedom of expression. We are free to express ourselves in any way we can. So this is the big lie of the 60s, that you are now free. Since we are the United States of America, that we're not communist, we should be free to do anything we want. So back in the 60s, what was born in the 60s? What was born in the 60s was the sexual revolution. The people protested and they said they want free sex, drugs, and rock and roll. So what did this type of freedom, what does this type of freedom do to the people? This led to abortions, this led to diseases, and this led to broken families. So there are people who, I want more freedom. I want the freedom to do whatever I want. And they got it. And most of these people that were part of the 60s are now the professors and the teachers in the universities. So they're teaching our kids now. If you go to a university now, they are teaching the kids that you are free to do whatever you want as long as you don't hurt anybody else. That's why we see rampant sex in the universities, rampant diseases. And once your child goes to a university now, they lose the respect to the parents, they lose the fear of God, because this idea that you're free to do anything you want is what you should be doing. So be careful to those kids. To those of you who are going to send your kids to the universities or to any liberal institution, you have to pray on your knees, pray for your kids that God will protect them, because that's the only way they will survive the universities nowadays. I'm not saying that there are good universities out there, like what the Jerry Falwell University, Liberty University. There are universities, there are Christian universities that teach the Word of God there. But even those nowadays are also being outrun by liberal philosophy. So one other aspect that came out of the 60s was the freedom to love anyone. The freedom to love anything. Believe it or not. Well, before I go to that, this idea that you're free to love anyone, you're free to love anything, led to divorce. Because they said if you love someone, if you don't love this person anymore, you can go love another one. You divorce your wife, you divorce your husband. That led to divorces. And that, as we all know, it led to gay marriage. Because you're free to love anybody. You're free to love someone of the same sex. So that's what led to where we are now. This freedom to love anybody. And actually, now there is I heard on the news, you know, you're now free to love anyone and anything. There was this person on YouTube, well, I don't know if it's on YouTube, it's in the news. Guess what he did? He married his cell phone. I'm not kidding. He actually had a ceremony in Vegas where he married his cell phone. And I said, can this be any more absurd? That's where we are now in our society. So I would like us to reflect on these, what I've just identified here. It seems like these definitions, when man says freedom, it becomes another form of bondage. When we say, human beings, we want freedom, what ends up happening is you end up trading one freedom for another type of bondage. This has been man's definition of freedom. Man's version of freedom can be detrimental in some cases, which it's been, as I have just explained to you. That's why I believe there's no such thing as total freedom. There's no such thing as total freedom. I believe in controlled, regulated freedom. It's an oxymoron, right? It's an oxymoron because how can you be free if you're not totally free? I will submit to you that today you cannot attain total freedom while you are in this world. While you are living in this earth, you cannot attain total freedom. There's no such thing as total freedom in this world. No matter what you do, think about the freedom, there's got to be a limit to it. Now let us see what the scripture says about freedom. Let's see what the Bible says about freedom. What is freedom in the eyes of God? There are four types of freedom that you could see that's in scripture. One is freedom in Christ. Two, the calling to freedom. Three, freedom from sin. And four, which is really very important, which helped me a lot, is freedom from fear. So let me read you the scriptures. I won't ask you to turn unless you have your Bibles in front of you. Galatians 5:1, freedom in Christ. The freedom Christ has set us free, stand firm therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Galatians 5:1. I encourage you to write those passages down because, you know, when the word of God is the sword, so when the enemy tries to get into your mind, the best way to do is recite scripture. Recite scripture is your best defense against the enemy. I'm sorry. Against the enemy. Excuse me. See, that's what happened when I'm nervous. My mouth dries. When I was singing last Sunday, my mouth was really dry, and probably you noticed. I don't know if anybody noticed. I was just licking my lips, trying to get it wet. Anyway, so second verse is 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where is the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Remember that song? We used to sing that. So keep that in your scripture verses. Galatians 2:4, our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. I'll explain to you later on the freedom in Christ Jesus, okay? And then John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And then Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. This is very important, this verse. For the law of the Spirit of life, there's a law of the Spirit of life, has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So there's a law of spirit and life, and there's a law of sin and death. That Christ Jesus is the law of sin and death. And there's the call to freedom as well. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. That is a call to freedom. If you want to be free, use this as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. You have the freedom to serve one another. Wherever you are, your family, your parents, your friends, your co-workers. That is the call to freedom the Scripture calls us to. Now, let's go to freedom from sin. Okay, once again, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to take the Scriptures down. I'll give it to you later on, but this may help you. Acts 10:43. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So you are forgiven of your sins through his name. All right? So Romans 6, verse 6 to 7, we know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free, has been set free from sin. Remember that. For one who has died has been set free from sin. You know what that means? In order to be set free from sin, you have to die. Okay, I'll explain that later, okay? 1 Corinthians 10:13b, God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. This is a life verse of communion. 1 Corinthians 10:13. So freedom from fear, this is very important. Because as I said earlier, when I was that concert, before I sang, I was fearful. But what the Scripture does to us, it gives us that assurance that God is with us and he will not let us fall down or, you know, be embarrassed or whatever. God will prevent us to be fearful of life. And these are some of the verses. Proverbs 1:33. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread or of disaster. I'm sure everyone here has gone through some kind of trial in his life or her life. And sometimes you dread, oh, what's going to happen? You know. But listen to this passage, Proverbs 1, verse 33. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease. Isn't that assuring? Listen to me, Jesus said. God said, Jesus said. You will not dread disaster. You will feel at ease. What does it mean when you say, listen to me? When the Scripture says, listen to me, what does that actually do? Anyone? Read the Scripture, right? If you listen to my words, so if you are in a certain situation, you're feeling, oh no, I'm in trouble. Lay down your fears, go to the Scripture and read it. God will speak to you. Amen? Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You are sons of God, children of God. When you accept the Lord as your, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are immediately in, you are first from darkness, like Pastor Seth says, always say, you are from darkness, now you're into light. You are now adopted sons of God. God has just adopted you into his kingdom. Would any father let their children go astray? Will any father let his children be hurt or be in trouble, be in danger? No, right? Yes, I'm sure Irvin can say that now, right? See, there's something about being a parent that it's like symbolic, you know? It's like when you were a parent, you can now know how the love of God is for you. Because if you just know your feeling about your child, that's how God loves you. Your child can do no wrong in your eyes. No matter how they turn their back on you, once that child comes back and repent and comes to you, you accept them with open arms. Just think about that. That is what God feels about us. I think that's why parents have this tremendous gift that you have, because you can now actually feel what God feels about you. Just think about how you feel about your own children. Amen? So I keep telling Kevin, because sometimes he says, oh, Dad, he likes, why do you always keep an eye on me? Why do you always call me? Why do you always text me? Do you want me to call you back? It's like, he feels like I'm nagging him, right? And I'm already 25. I can do all, you know, I can already do these things. But Kevin, you're still my son. No matter how, I don't care whether you're 60, you're still going to be my son. And I'm not going to feel any differently against towards you. And that's how God feels about us. No matter how old we are, no matter how bad we've been, if you come back to him, you know the story of Irvin had that passage 2 weeks ago, the Father's Day. The father, when he saw his son miles away, he ran. There was this song that I always, it's so important to me because when I sing this song, I always have tears in my eyes. It's called When God Ran. Because I know how that feels like. If anyone, if Kevin turned bad, or then I hope not, you know, I know he won't. God's guiding him. But if he did that, if he turned around and said, I'm sorry, Dad, miles away, I'll go for him. I'm sure anyone would. Amen? So to a parent, there's no such thing as an ugly child. I don't care whether your child is the worst. Everybody says he's the worst. You'd be surprised. There are killers, right? The parents... There's this, who is this, the one that killed the people in Orlando? The father was blaming the club for not providing protection for, so imagine that. See, this is just, this is what we call amazing love. Amen? Amazing love. How can it be? So 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit not to fear, but power and love and self-control. That's from fear. Psalm 56:4. in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? What can flesh do to you if God is with you? Right? We were watching this scary movie the other night, Camille and I. It was about exorcism. Right? We are always fearful. We are fearful of the people that will break and enter in our houses, right? But there's another thing that we are fearful from is the devil, the demons, the enemy. They are the scariest creatures that God has ever created. You know, those fallen demons, they could do a number on an unbeliever. But if you are a believer, they're scared of you. They're not going to go near you because God says, don't mess around with my child. So this is freedom from fear. Don't fear the enemy. Don't fear the devil. Don't fear that the enemy has a hold on your children. Don't fear that the enemy has a hold on you. Fear God. God allows things to happen, definitely. Sickness and stuff like that. But there's a purpose. Camille could have... I'm so happy that she's still here, you know. And I could have lost her. Well, actually, I lost her already. I lost her 2012, August 16. She was dead. They just revived her. And I know God intervened. As I'm a witness. I say witness. Amen? I witness to that. I'm direct witness to that. Because sometimes situations like that, how is it that she survived and there are other people that don't survive? Because God has a plan for her. God does not want to disappoint all the people that were praying for her. God won't do that to you. You got to trust God. God will not let you down. This is the freedom that God offers us, freedom from fear. So let me ask you this question after all this, what I've just said. What is really the most important thing in the world? What, if you, someone asks you, what is the most important thing in the world, you think? Someone will say, the most important thing in the world is my children. Yeah. Well, important thing is, fear. I won't have any fear, you know. I want to be free. Yeah, I believe those are important. But the most important thing in the world for you and for your children is, where will you spend eternity? That should be the only thing that should be in your mind is, what will you do to assure yourself that you will spend life in eternity? There are people that don't believe in eternity. You know, sad, but that's the truth. There are people that don't believe that there's life after death. But as a believer, that should be your main goal, is to make sure that you will be spending your afterlife with God. Because that is the point in time. That's the only point in time when you will really have full freedom. You're not free in this world. No matter what you do, you could say, I'm free, I'm free to do anything, but you're not, you're totally not. So, let me go to what I said earlier. See, how can we accomplish that? How can we know, right, how to accomplish that. How do you know, how can you make sure that you spend your life in eternity after this world? So after this world, after you die, basically, You don't know, right? You don't know where you're going to be. But God's told you what to do. If you believe in God and you believe that there is life after death, where you spend eternity should be the most important thing for you. Well, it's true, 100 years from now, no matter what you do, it doesn't matter, right? 100 years from now, I got a nice house, for example. I got a nice car. I got a good job. I got good friends. I'm popular. I'm Martin Rivera. Everybody likes me. 100 years from now, nobody cares who you are. When you're dead down in the ground, just a fact. Nobody cares who you are. But if you're down in the dust, your body, your flesh is rotting. But the promise of God is that you will have life after death. That's the most important part. Do you know, it's in the scripture, do you know that you will have resurrected bodies to live in this earth again? Some people think that when you die, you are going to be in the spirit realm and your spirit will be in heaven floating with the angels. That's not eternal life. God has promised that you will be resurrected with a glorified body. Jesus was the first fruits. His body was resurrected. His body ate and drank with his apostles. You will have a resurrected, glorified body. And based on the scriptures, it's going to be here on earth. You go research that, but that's the promise of God, that you will have your own glorified bodies and you will be living on earth. And that's eternal life. And there you have freedom. Am I right, Pastor Ed? Well, you know, that's what I believe the scripture says. And you go do your own research, but I believe, and I read it, that you will have your glorified bodies and you will be able to eat, drink, and be merry here on earth. You will not have probably the same desires because you will be free from sin. The only reason why we're sinning right now is because our bodies, our flesh, are filled with this desire. We have this desire to be self-gratified. We have this body to be hungry, to, you know. I think that it's not in scripture, but I think during that time you still be able to eat and drink, but you don't really have to if you don't want to. But that's what eternal life, that's the promise of God is. So the problem with sin is this. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and this way death came to all people because all sinned. The original plan of God is for all of us to live in paradise. Adam didn't get sick. He had everything he wanted. He lived in paradise. But Adam fell, and sin came through Adam, and guess what came through Adam? Death. Death was not the original plan, but God left it there because otherwise you won't have free will if there's no death. Right? God made Adam fully free. Free to make a choice. Because if you're being controlled with what you do, and you're controlled not to sin, then it means you're not free. You're a robot, basically. You're programmed to do certain things. But God gave you a freedom to think. God made you freedom to make a choice. But look, God is so good that he knew that this was going to happen. So before the world was created, before everything was created, Jesus was already there and was ready to give his life for you. So if Adam was the cause of why death came into this world, then Jesus was the antidote to Adam. Jesus is the one who answers all the problem of death. Hence, your opportunity to receive the total freedom. That's why when I read earlier that John 3:16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Because Jesus, if Adam brought in death, Jesus brought in life. Jesus released you from the bondage of death. That is really the essence of Scripture. It's for you to be free from the bondage of death. Because if you are non-believer, if you do not believe these things, and because it's so easy, right? It's so easy to say, I believe. But it's not just that, right? But let me explain later. But Jesus came to this world to free us from the bondage of death. Because we are already destined to die because of Adam. But because of Jesus, you now have a way out. If you notice in history, every time there's a revolution, every time there's a cry for freedom, there's always a price to pay. Right? The United States had a war with Britain, a long war. Many died, many sacrificed their lives in order to be free from the clutches of Great Britain. Same thing, World War II. The Philippines gained its independence because of war. Many Filipinos died along with the Americans against the Japanese. And after that war, the Philippines was given their freedom by the United States because many died, right? They said, your country is devastated. They paid the price. Well, you know, you always have to pay a price for freedom. If you commit something wrong, you go to prison. If you commit a crime, you go to prison. And you spend time in seclusion, in prison for a certain period of time. And after you serve your time, you pay your debt, then you get free. We are the same thing. It's like we committed a crime. Okay? Sin is basically crime. It's basically disobedience from God, right? So we committed a crime. We have to pay up. But you know what? We get scot-free because Jesus paid for it. Jesus paid for the death. Paid for our sins. Before I end, I'd just like to show you this short video. This is basically a gist of this whole message right here. I always get these guys. These guys are funny, but it's not funny this time. But I just like you to watch them and try to get what's being said there. But I'm sure you can get it right away. You guys are smart.
we with God for all eternity because of what Jesus did on the cross. And we all know that, right? But there's something that we still have to do, because there's Jesus paid the price. He paid the ultimate price. He did all the work. But there's only one thing that we have to do, is to recognize the sacrifice. But sometimes that seems so hard for some people. They just cannot recognize that Jesus, someone as good as Jesus, would do something for them. And that's the overwhelming theme right now in most universities. Most of these people, they're just mocking Jesus, mocking Christians. And they're saying, how can you believe in this thing? How can you believe that someone from 2,000 years ago died for you and sacrificed his life for you? Actually, it wasn't 2,000 years ago that this happened. This was at the beginning of creation when Jesus conceived of this. It was not just 2,000 years ago when Jesus decided that he was going to go to the cross. It was decided even before we were created that he was going to go through this for you, because he knew you before you were born. Remember that? Remember that passage? Amen? Everyone believes that, right? So let me read this before I close. John 8:31-36. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? So these are like the people that are mocking Jesus, right? Because of what he said. And even now, this kind of people exist. But Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So on verse 33, the Jews were saying, we were never slaves. How can you set us free if we're never slaves? But what did Jesus say? I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So we have to respond. If you are here today and you are not sure of your salvation, if you have any inkling or doubt that you are not saved, you could do it at this very moment, or you could do it when you get home. You don't have to embarrass yourself or anything like that. This is between you and God. Anyone, if you have anything in your heart, and if you have any doubt that you are saved, I urge you to kneel down and talk to God to reveal you himself at this very moment. Just ask God and ask him, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Because nobody gets saved by themselves. The Holy Spirit reveals himself to you first. But if you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to you, he will not deny that claim. He will not deny your request, I mean. That's what the Lord has given to me today. Total freedom can only be attained in the afterlife. And that is what we call freedom from death. It's ironic. You say you die first before you become free. If you are striving for freedom, strive to be saved, which is what matters most. You have to make sure that you are right with God. And the only thing you have to do is ask with whole heart. Remove all your biases, anything that's influenced you from when you were a kid or work, even whatever now. Just pray right now and ask God right now, Lord, reveal yourself to me. So let's pray. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, we just like to thank you, O Lord, for our message today. And thank you, Father God, for using me to deliver your message. I know, Lord, that this does not come from me. It comes from you because I've asked you, Lord God, and you've given me the strength and the desire to speak today. And I pray, Father, that if there's anyone in our congregation or in our sphere of influence, Lord, that does not know you yet, that has that doubt, that they will be with you in paradise, I pray, Father God, that you would reveal yourself to that person or those persons today. And I know, Lord God, that if we ask it in Jesus' name right now, that you would reveal to us, even to those who have that assurance, Father, we pray for that encouraging word, that Rhema word that would speak to us today. We give you glory and praise. We honor you, for this congregation gives you the honor and praise. And glorify you, Lord, for the sacrifice you've made for us, so that we will be free from death and we will be with you in paradise. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.